Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, and I'm having some difficulty getting into the studio because of a computer malfunction. So if you can be patient with us, I would be very happy to, if you would be just patient with us. We'll get into the broadcast, inshallah, God willing. We're trying to get in now. And so I hope you'll be patient with us. I hope our brother, Brother Yusuf Salam, will be patient. We're trying to, this is my first time kind of being by myself doing this. And I'm doing it without the use of my computer. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not the most technical savvy guy in the world. In fact, I'm not savvy. So if you would please bear with us. God willing, we will get into it. Make dua that God blesses us to get into the show. We just don't know how to please be patient with us as we try to get into the studio. This is computer generated. So, again, you have a person who's not computer savvy. I just have to be honest with you. So be patient with us as we try to get the show on the road. Brother Imam Yusuf, if you would please just be patient with us. We're trying to get on the air. This is a difficult day for us. Thank you. Oh, dear beloved people, please make that Almighty God bless us. We're trying to get into this studio, and I'm just having difficulty. Be patient with us. So please, again, that's all I ask you to do is be patient when we're trying to use another computer. This is... Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. I think we are ready now for the program. I'm going to plug in our dear brother and dear friend, our brother Imam Yusuf. He has really been patient with us. So I'm not going to do a further, without a further ado, I'm going to bring on brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam from the storehouse in Selma, Alabama. Brother Imam, thank you for your patience.
As-salamu alaykum, brother.
Walaykum as-salam.
Testing, testing. I want to make sure everything is straight. Testing, testing.
Yes,
sir,
we all ready. Brother, it's just my brain didn't, I couldn't figure out how to get in the studio. I had to do it on my phone. So one of my family members is out of here that helped me. So you're now ready to broadcast, sir.
Okay, well, while I was waiting, I took a little bite. Let me just get myself together briefly, and I'll be ready.
I'll talk with the audience while you, when you're ready. Well, I want to say to the audience, dear beloved people, peace be on you, assalamu alaikum, and to our dear audience and non-Muslims, we had several of you listening yesterday to our broadcast, and one of you, I hope I didn't scare away because I called you to find out who was listening. I'd like to know who's listening, but welcome to Religion Means Alive. Welcome. This is a program that's open to all people, particularly African Americans. I never thought that I would go on record as saying a person is innocent until proven guilty. I must tell you that I was very pained by the arrest of a United States District Court judge in the Middle District of Alabama for the Middle District. And that the judge, I wrote in a response to the Atlanta Constitution, he is innocent until proven guilty. This is a Southern Caucasian judge. But see how Allah has softened our heart, that is Almighty God. Then I said, and I pray for this man's family. I don't like to see anybody, and I hate to see the federal judiciary or any judiciary besmirched. I aspired to the bar. My daddy aspired to the bar, never reached it. And I have two sons who aspire to be lawyers. So we should denigrate any situation where justice is being administered. We should pray for Almighty God's mercy. But I'm just telling you how, through the teachings of Imam Muhammad, he has given us Quranic medicine. And I never thought I would make a public comment like that. But Allah just moved me to write. I said, I was pained by it. I don't know, for some strange reason, I've always followed impeachment proceedings of federal judges and sort of did some writing on it as a news reporter for a while. I was working on a newspaper. But I just was pained by to see this happen. A man that some years ago would have been my adversary. Maybe, I don't know, he still is my adversary. But I believe God has given us the spirit to heal. And also know that God has given us the spirit to understand. I thank Almighty God for our dear brother and dear friend, and you, dear audience, for being patient with us. I had to call the Blog Talk officials to help me get on because, I'm not the technical savvy person. You can't be good at everything. You just can be good at what God has called you to. And I know that God has called me to work, to serve this community in some capacity. And I don't make any other claim. I don't claim to be the moral majority or the moral minority. I just claim to be, and a saint I ain't. But I'm just a scribing person. So, my dear brother, whenever you're ready, I will take leave of the rostrum and grant it to you and pray our Almighty God his blessings and mercy upon you.
Thank you, my brother, and for giving me that moment to readjust and to shift gears. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
With Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. Thank him for the gift and blessing of the moral human person, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, the honorable and noble messenger of Allah. And what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, be upon him, the seal of the prophets, mentioned in the Bible as it is given in Quran. We greet you with the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. We ask Allah to strengthen us this afternoon and brace us as we attempt to take a strong stand on issues both domestic and foreign, that Almighty God Allah Himself has allowed to come down the womb of history and to flow down the stream of cosmic time. We certainly ask for His mercy and His forgiveness. I would like to continue in a series I was writing it. I've been busy and wasn't paying attention. And two things happened on my journey. One is that I was stopped by law enforcement and not having my seatbelt fastened. But for some reason, this law enforcement officer, he did not hit me with the kind of traffic violations he could have. Matter of fact, he was very merciful. I don't have any understanding as to why, but he was very lenient, kind, and considerate. And after he indicated how he would deal with the situation, he gave me a fist pump, fist to fist, brother to brother. Now, I don't know whether or not this particular trooper had been moved by the image of this great African-American hero that I've seen operating in Missouri, this African-American state trooper that reminded me through his actions, and I don't know him, I've just been observing his actions, but he reminded me of the way my people used to be. The people who I committed at the age of 19 to work for and to serve as long as I'm sucking wind on this planet. I don't know whether or not this particular officer got in a spirit of ethnic brotherhood and solidarity, but he fist pumped me and bid me farewell. I looked him over. He was a very young officer, and he could not have been on the force state representative, because as a state representative, the troopers were very, let me put it this way, kind and cause you toward. And they didn't give us a whole lot of difficulty. So now he didn't know me, and I did not know him. But he reminded me of Brother Ron, Captain Ron Johnson, out of Ferguson, Missouri, who's showing the world what that son of Ham can do. Step up to the plate and take on the mantle of responsibility. But I was speeding, and I admit it, I was speeding. And after I left the officer, I reflected that a truck had passed me by. And I knew I had to drop. Normally, when I see that, my mind automatically pauses. But today I was in a hurry, and it only registered after the fact. So something told me as I approached Juma, don't get too busy. Don't get too diverted and forget about your resolution to preach Wallace. Maybe you got that speeding ticket because you need to slow down. You need to regroup and remember that you're number one. Without a doubt, priority is to preach Wallace and fear the consequences. To preach Wallace. What do I mean by preach Wallace? To tell the world the truth. That the most advanced spiritual presence on the planet since Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a nappy-headed kindred person of Master Bilal. And of course I'm referring to Imam Waratu D. Muhammad or Wallace D. Muhammad or W. D. Muhammad. And we all, as his students, should be united as the teeth of a comb, as the teeth of a comb, as bricks in a solid cement structure, with that top priority. Yes, advocate this deed, but advocate it in the lucid context that was given to us by our blessed Imam, Imam Waratu D. Muhammad. So I'm a, inshallah, we're going to slow down today. And take our time and stipulate that America cannot afford to ignore the message that its most blessed native son brought to this planet when he brought the most excellent tafsir and refined message from Quran 3. Oh, yes. So we want to continue our series, Debunking the Myth of Ham. Slowly but surely, reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam. Reflecting on the life of the blessed Imam. Subtopic, the people that rode in the old touring car. Was given the message to deliver the people from the jar. The people that rode the old touring car was given the message to bring all the people out of the jar. Let us move on, and I would like to go to our holy book and do some extensive reading that speaks for itself. The message is so clear that it speaks for itself, and it's going to shed a lot of light, inshallah, upon our discussion this evening. It's going to shed a lot of light, Allah's guidance in the holy book. Alludu Bilam, and they say, Tani Rajim, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. The Jews say Allah's hand is tied up. Be their hands tied up, and be they accursed. Let me put a pin right there. I just read from Yusuf Ali's translation of the Holy Quran. I believe in what I read. I am not making any statements about any ethnicity or any group of people. I'm merely reading what's contained in the holy book. So don't you dream, if you're in this audience, of accusing this student of Imam Muhammad as being anti-Semitic. I'm not anti any son and daughter of Adam. We are not anti any son and daughter of Adam. We are anti-lies. We are anti-falsehood. We are anti-wrongdoing. We are anti-wickedness. We are anti-evil. So I repeat, what the book says is not what Imam Yusuf Abdus Salam. I'm not Yusuf Salam, I'm Abdus Salam, the servant of the Salam, or the peace, slave servant, Salam. The book says, the Jews say, Allah's hand is tied up. Be their hands tied up, and be they accursed for the blasphemy that they utter. Both his hands are widely outstretched, and he giveth and spendeth of his bounty as he pleases. Now, not going to comment on these verses other than to say, all of you among the sons and daughters of Adam should acknowledge that we have no control over his grace and his mercy. And he bestowed upon whom he will. And he bestowed his bounty upon a descendant of slaves in America. So, and we shouldn't be surprised. Quran tells us, say, no, his hands are widely outstretched. He giveth and spendeth of his bounty as he pleases. But the revelation that cometh to thee from Allah increases in most of them their obstinate rebellion and blasphemy. Among them we have placed enmity and hatred to the day of judgment. Every time they kindle the fire of war, Allah do extinguish it. But they ever strive to do mischief on earth. And Allah loveth not those who do mischief. If only the people of the book had believed and been righteous, we should indeed have blotted out their iniquities and admitted them to the garden of bliss. If only they had stood fast by the law, the gospel, and all the revelation that was sent to them from their Lord, they would have enjoyed happiness from every side. There is from among them a party on the right course. How can any Muslim or believer condemn the Jews or any other group of people when God says clearly in the Quran that a party, there is from among them, so parallel, a party on the right course. How you look? How will we look talking negative about any particular ethnic group? Don't we understand that any son and daughter of Adam can go wrong? There's no ethnic group that where all the people are righteous. This idea that you cannot criticize a group for wrongdoing when every other group on the planet is subject to evaluation and criticism. And if you criticize that group in suggesting that everybody among them is not a god or an angel or a saint, you anti-Semitic. You anti-Semitic. How in the world can we expect for any group where every last individual among that group is a perfect angel? We're intelligent believing people. Don't insult my intelligence to try to insulate yourself from any kind of criticism. No group is above criticism. Every group has those who do right and those who do wrong. What kind of group will want a situation where anytime they're under the eye of objective scrutiny, can't criticize any of them, because if you do, you're a wicked, sinful anti-Semite. You're a wicked, sinful anti-Semite. Many times we're told to be objective and to critique our own people. And I critique African-American people. I critique Hispanic. I critique Caucasian. I critique Native American. I critique Asians. I critique every group of people on this planet, but there's supposed to be one group that you can't say nothing about. If you just criticize one out of millions, you anti-Semitic. No, indeed. Allah has not given any group a pass. See, what Jacob and all of them, and I'm paraphrasing, what they did is on them, and what we do is on us. Every toe up got to stand on its own bottom. So let's get away from this foolishness. There's no ethnic group, a racial group, a religious group where everybody in it is wicked. But now I stand behind Quran and say a party of them is on the right course, but Quran says this. But many of them follow a course that's evil. I didn't say it, Allah said it. Not a few, not some, but according to God's word, said many of them follow a course that's evil. God goes on to reveal, O messenger, proclaim the message which have been sent to thee from thy Lord. If thou didst not, thou would not have fulfilled and proclaimed his mission. And Allah will defend thee from men who mean mischief. For Allah guided not those who reject faith. Say, O people of the book, ye have no ground to stand upon unless you stand fast by the law, the gospel, and all the revelation that has come to you from your Lord. It is the revelation that come to thee from thy Lord that increases in most of them their obstinate rebellion and blasphemy. But sorrow thou not over these people without faith. Those who believe in the Quran, listen, those who follow Jewish scriptures, the Sabians and the Christians who believe in Allah in the last day. If any so-called Jewish individual follow the scripture that was given to them and believe in Allah in the last day, and if they work righteousness, on them shall there be no fear, nor shall they grieve. What is some of this talk coming out the Muslim world that all Jews are condemned to hell? Where did they get that from? That's not our religion. We took the covenant of the children of Israel and sent them messengers. Every time there came to them a messenger with what they themselves desired not, some of these they called imposters, and some go so far as to sleep. If we have some non-Muslims in the audience, it was not anything said in that verse in Quran that's not stated clearly in King James Version of the Bible. So they denied, some of them denied messengers, some of them harmed messengers, and some of them may call charlatans or imposters. This is in the Bible, and they claim that they, some of them they slew in the Bible. They cut off the head of John the Baptist. They thought there would be no trial or punishment. So they became blind and deaf. Yet Allah in mercy turned to them. Yet again, many of them became blind and deaf. But Allah sees well all that they do. They do blasphemy. They do blasphemy. Who say Allah is Christ, the Son of Mary. But say, Christ, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord, and your Lord. Whoever join other gods with Allah, Allah will forbid him the garden, then the fire will be his abode. There will, subhanAllah, for the wrongdoers, be no one to help. Now we get to the punchline. They do blaspheme, who say Allah is one of three in a trinity. But there is no God, one Allah. If they desist not from their word of blasphemy, very grievous penalty will befall the blasphemers among them. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Dearly beloved audience, I've never read that extensively during a message from our holy book. But I wanted to set the tone. And what can better set the tone for us than our holy book? Remember, I said in the topic, I talked about for who rode in the old Turing car has been given the message to take all of the people out of the job. Just briefly, let us reflect on the fact Turing car language comes from the tradition of the old Nation of Islam. So when I mention in the topic Turing car, I have reference to that precognitive statement made in the early law of the Nation of Islam about the old Turing car. So when I say people who rode in the old Turing car, I'm referring to the fact that Allah came to those people and brought from their experience a message that can bring humanity out of its jar. And what jar is that? A state of psycho-spiritual containment. After all, a jar is a container. But jar also is used in the context of an assault. When someone is hit with a jarring blow, so the containment is designed to jar the soul, to put the human soul under constant jarring or psychological warfare. And Satan said that he would come up against the people's soul and jar them by crafting artificial religious ideas which contain them and prevent us from reaching our full potential as sons and daughters of Adam. Jarring us from the right jarring us from the left, jarring us from the front, jarring us from the rear, fighting a vicious, constant, continual, perpetual psychological war against the sons and daughters of Adam. After laying that foundation, let me repeat what our Imam said, that we living in Yom Medin. And ever since he's made that statement, Allah the Expediter has been allowing on this planet events to unfold, which create commercial commotion, subhanAllah, after all repeated commotion. And if we look around at the panoramic global scene, we can see this process of commotion followed by all repeated commotion being magnified and intensified. Just look at the global events, and we can see commotion after all repeated commotion. Three situations we want to touch on, and we'll let it go. We'll let it go today. First situation is the actions claim to follow what Musa, peace be upon him, received on Mount Sinai. These actions that I'm referring to, conducted by people who claim to be a part of the people who received what Musa was given on Mount Sinai. I'm referring to the atrocious actions of the people in Israel, especially that wolf-like leader, that Hittite savage. That vicious son of Gad, naming the sons of Jacob, they said Gad was a trooper, allegedly connecting him up with the zodiac or archetype of Aries, allegedly in their mythology, ruled by Mars. Or Ares, the Greek, the Roman god Mars, and the Greek god Ares, that force in the human being given to warfare. And they say the symbol of this warlike sign that Gad represents, and in their mythological and esoteric lore, they claim that every sign in the zodiac represents one of the sons or offsprings of Jacob. And those who would know would say that these offsprings symbolizes 12 archetypal influences in the human makeup. So this savage son of Gad, trooper, this vicious warrior who claimed to be amongst the people who were blessed to receive that which came down from Musa. But as I said last week, that which came down to Musa was based upon the law of equality. An eye for an eye, a life for a life, a tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb, a death for a death. Not the grossly unequal situation we see playing out, where one life justified taking the life of hundreds. Where did that concept of warfare come from? They didn't get it from Musa. So yes, that action is nothing but the behavior of warlike savages. So, Mount Sinai. But then there's another mountain. And it's from this other mountain that we get this jaw word that's in our topic, taking the people out of the jaw. Now, in the word Sinai, we see clearly S-I-N, sin. There's another mountain in Iraq. Well, according to the news bringers, several Kurds was trapped on this mountain, and that they were unable, according to the news report, to procure any water, to procure any food, that they were allegedly trapped by this bogus, un-Islamic group that's called ISIS. There's no such thing as Islam and ISIS. So yes, they are a bogus group. Yes, they are a manufactured group. Yes, they're an orchestrated group. Yes, some power that be is playing games. Yes, some power that be playing games with that whole ISIS thing. But let me play games with them. ISIS, allegedly, this Muslim group, these Muslim fighters, allegedly, ran these people up on the mountain, trapped them, and put them in a position a possible genocidal circumstances. Then the son of Ham intervened, ordered U.S. military to selectively bomb these forces. According to later reports, this bombing allowed these trapped Kurds to escape their very difficult and potentially deadly circumstances. Of course, now we know that soon as this son of Ham, Barack Hussein Obama, this commander-in-chief, before his policy was given a chance to manifest its soundness, a lack of soundness. People who claim to be patriotic Americans criticize him unrelentingly. I keep trying to tell you, it's not about any policy. It's about stigmatizing Obama's legacy, besmirching it, so that this myth can continue that the sons of Ham are not suited to wear the name Khalifa. not suited to wear the name Khalifa. Now everybody is saying, according to the objective pundits, that this bombing was effective and that these people were actually helped by this military strategy. But even in that context, these people who take the raising up of an African-American as somehow one white folk, this U.S. congressman went on television, Mo Brooks of Alabama, talking about a one white folk. And ironically, before he could get that stage, that word out of his mouth, I'm sorry, a young African-American was cold-bloodedly and brutally slaughtered. Mo, isn't that your name, Mo? Well, he was slaughtered in Mo. Isn't that the abbreviation for Missouri? Ferguson, Missouri? Isn't that their abbreviation? Allow them to allow you to get away with that lie? Who is the war actually against? It was an African-American male, Michael Brown, that was brutally, systematically murdered and executed like a pig. By this so-called officer of the law. Right after Moe said that there was a war on white. Look what happened in the state of Mo. Is there by perchance really a war on the sons of Ham? I know we've made a lot of progress. And he may have acknowledged that progress. But ever since this son of Ham became president of these United States, a party among our American brethren have gotten into a deep, irrational bad. And all the progress that some of them made, if we give them the benefit of the doubt, has been corroded because of their obsessed, compulsive hatred of Barack Hussein Obama. Officers who served respectfully against races when Bush and Clinton was president, able to maintain their racial animus. Now all of a sudden, that animus is being brought to the surface because every day, when they have to acknowledge that their commander-in-chief, that the top man over the law in the country is Mr. Eric Holder, another son of Ham. Unfortunately, that's inflaming them. So yes, Mo, we saw what you said, and we see the connection with what happened a few years ago in the state of Missouri. And this is the same state where a few months ago, and I can prove everything I say, in a circus or a fair, one of these Missourians in a cartoon assault on our president put together a dummy, puppet-like figure in the field and rammed the broom up his posterior as if that's what the President of the United States deserved. In this same state of Missouri, I digressed a little bit. But they did not wait to see whether or not the policy was appropriate before they violated the old steadfast rule that politics end at the water's edge. That none of the partisanship should transcend the Atlantic Ocean. That none of the partisanship should transcend the Pacific Ocean. That once we get beyond our domestic shores, that we stand united in the foreign policy arena against all enemies and foes. But not so with Ham. Ham is in the room, rules of the game changes. There's no longer any water's edge. There's no longer any talk about we must support our man commander-in-chief. There's no longer any talk about we're in conflict as a nation and we should be unified as one force. I heard that in the 60s about Vietnam. I heard it throughout the 70s. I heard it throughout the 80s. I heard it throughout the 90s when Bill Clinton was commander-in-chief. I heard it after 9/11. All of my life, I heard this. Now, all of a sudden, there's no such thing as supporting our commander-in-chief. Yeah, they may still say, support our troops. But if you, how can we support our troops if we don't support the commander over the troops? That doesn't make sense. So these Kurds on the mountain and Sinai, S-I-N, AI, in the name of this other mountain, Sinjar. Sinjar in Iraq. What's the connection between C and I in the book of metaphysical terms about the Bible? They say that AI is pronounced I, like an EYE. The vision to see nothing but sin. Almighty God didn't name that, didn't allow that name of that mountain to be named Sinai. The wicked people came up with that name. In Quran, is it called Mount Sinai? In the Arabic language, is it called, we say, well, when this particular word in Arabic, where they're talking about the Mount Sinai, based upon what it was known as in English when this particular translator was born. But there's no such thing as Sinai in Arabic, in the language of God. Sinai is the language of the devil. So what's the connection between this mount, S-I-N-A-I, and this mount, S-I-N-J-A-R, in Iraq? With those two mounts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving global man a message. Just like with the two eminences that we make say between on the Hajj, those two mounts, Safa and Marwa, where these two mounts are being used as signals to indicate to man the real problem that humanity is facing. The visionary sin of Mount Sinai has created the sin where the souls of the majority of mankind is contained in a jar. The jar of what? The J-R of jar? You see, you hear J-A-J jar and J-R jar. Now, it is said, when Moses was on the mountain, and this is not supported in Quran, Moses was an educated man. Moses was a general in Pharaoh's army. He was familiar with the lore and knowledge base of ancient Egypt. What man of mediocre experience and intelligence, if they were on top of the Rocky Mountains, would have to ask, what's the name of God? What do you say your name is, God? Are we so naive to believe that this Moses did not know the Egyptian word for the creator of the heavens and earth? We have some uneducated people right here in America that know the name for the creator, G-O-D, God. And look what he was allegedly told. Some I am that I am. I am that I am. Is not the name for the creator. Again, I got this dictionary of biblical terms right beside me. I am refers to Jehovah. And many of us as Muslims make the mistake of saying, telling Christians that Allah is our name for Jehovah. Allah is not our name for Jehovah. Jehovah does not refer to the Lord of the heavens and earth. Jehovah is a anglicized form of Yahweh. And Yahweh is not what the prophets of the people of the book referred to when they talked about the Lord of all the worlds. Yahweh is the name of a tribal God that represents Jah. Jehovah, Jah, and Yahweh. It's the same name. And according to their knowledge, the Yah represent the eternal male principle in reality, and the way represent the eternal feminine quality in reality. Well, we know that God says in the Quran that he created everything in pairs. But it is only he that exists alone. So if Yahweh refers to the permanent, eternal male and feminine principles in creation, the yang and the yin, then that must be referred to creation. So Yahweh is a God of creation. And in their mind, the most evolved form of creation is man. So man then is the God Yah. And specifically, not all men, people of Yahoo, are the people of Jacob. Let me very quickly to this, and I must continue. According to this Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. There is a term, J-E-H-U, and they translate it, Yehu. Yehu. And it says it means Jehovah is he. Yah is he. Yah is he. Now again, I just told you this I am that I am. These two paths, these four letters, the sacred letters of the, as the Imam talked about, these forces in creation, the tetragrammaton, the four natural forces in creation. And we can teach on that, the I am that I am. It's not talking about the creator. It's talking about the creation. So it said, Jehu, Jehovah is he. And then it goes on to the word Jehu. You just add a D to it, and it says Judah. Ben Israel supposedly primarily comes from the tribe of Judah. Jew and Judah. But then it goes on to say Jehudah. Now, we know that Muslim, we like to refer to these people as the Yahudis. Well, the English term for it is Yehudah, J-E-H-U-D-I. It means of Judah, land of Judea, a Jew. But it says J-E-H-U means Jehovah or Jah. So Yehudah means one who is Jehovah, one who is Jah, one who is God over creation, one who is Joel, the Jewel. El means God. Rabbi, Rab, Semitically means Lord. I am Lord. I'm Lord. So you put the mind of the European people. You put the mind of Esau in a jar. You put a pleasing rope upon the European. You rope, a good rope, like in eulogy, a good speech, or euphemism, a good phrase. You put a good rope around him, and you make him your puppet on a string. And you send him out in the world, and you deify his image on the cross. And you put his image as divine over all the other darker people on the planet. Yet, you connect him up with you. You say that Joel is the father of this son, this Superman that you created to run the planet while you run him. And because the European was in a jar behind this jar thing, when he got a hold to us and fed us the crumbs from what he had eaten, then we became super victimized by this jaw thing, by this braggart. We say, I am that I am. He's saying, I am God in becoming, and I will be as I will be. Give me enough time. Give me enough knowledge, and I'll be like a God over the planet. Chronically, shall I lead the Adam to a kingdom that would never decay? I'm God. I got the knowledge. I got the fire. Should I leave the atom to a kingdom that will never decay? And so, what does this word AI mean? It means, I'm going to go again to this book and read it to you. Verbatim. This I, it means the heap, a heap of rubbish, a heap of ruin. What is this eye? This eye is having the vision to bring about a teaching that jotted people, that bring utterly ruin on the people and their civilization, to supplant their culture and reduce them. As is indicated, when it's Samson, he had a vision. He was blind, but in his soul's eye, he said, take me and put me between the two pillars. And I guarantee you that I can bring about a state of ruin among these people. And it goes on to say, a city east of Bethel. According to the Genesis, the serpent stands in the garden to guard against anything east of Eden. If you go east of Eden, then you're in artificial territory. You're in bogus territory. You're in made-up territory. You're in crafted territory. You're in forced territory. You're in invented territory. Some east of Eden. And then you say, beware of the leaven. See, when you go east of Eden, it's the yeast in the teaching, Y-E-A-S-T, that carries you east of Eden. Make our mind rise up from the material world. Put us into space. Give us a other world of teaching. Pie in the sky. After we die, the yeast permits the wine, keep the soul, keep the mind in a state of emotional and psychological ferment. So that's the sin of I, having the vision to try to create this kind of world. And then it goes on to say, Abraham, our father, built an altar between Bethel and I. Look, anytime the Bible used the term altar, it's talking about the fundamental fact that this is not God. This is a situation where somebody getting ready to alter what God has established, to change his natural order. Abraham never built anything between Bethel and I. Our father Abraham built in Mecca along with his son Ishmael. Peace be upon them both. So this is that, the Abraham of Satan. What you mean that Abraham was saved? And Bible say that he was from Ur, Uara, the same Uara that's in Uran. Esau did not bring a teaching that when he said if we drink it, you'll never thirst again. He could not have been referring to the Uara that's in church, the wasted water, the expedient water. That's not what Jesus taught. So Abraham did not bring any urine, any wasted water to the people. But Satan got the nerve to put in the book that he was from Ur, the land of Ur. All this is being shown us today. The sin of I have brought about the sin of the child, where the masses of the sons and daughters of Adam are caught up in these schemes to invent lies, to make up scripture, to forge scripture with one own hand. And in an attempt to use God to find something crooked in God's way, they came up with this plan, this scheme, to brown the cow. How now? Know how. N-O-W in the word, no, is not now, is no. K is silent, N-O-W, no. Flip it around, know how, brown the cow. Know how you control the world by browning the cow. Look at this Quran. It's two surahs related at least to the cow. Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest surah in Quran. Surah Adam, the cattle. Two surahs. There's a surah about the bee. There's a surah about the ant. There's a surah about the spider, but just one, the only animal that I know of, that got two surahs. In Quran Kareem, it's cow-related things. Cow-related things. So that in itself is a revelation that this Quran was sent to debrown the cow, to bust up their scheme, to hurl truth against falsehood and bust out its brain. Poor African-American people. Trayvon Martin got murdered. His name is Trey. Entertain how this Trinitarian doctrine has paralyzed our progress as a people, have contained us. And then we look today, the main African reporter, Trey Mann Lee. Again, the Trey has brought to our attention, but more so in the context of Brown and the Cow. The same time when popular culture brings out this movie on James Brown, we see this young African-American got the name of an archangel, Michael, being brutally murdered in Ferguson, Missouri. Why is this Brown brought to our eyes? Because the devastating condition of our people, according to Quran, turmoil and oppression is worse than slaughter. The real problem is not just the physical murder, the fact that our people are still oppressed and in a state of turmoil because we refuse to give up this tool of containment, this job where they have browned the cow on us. Look at the word contain. Con and T-I-T-A-I-N. I tan. They got this tan of a brown color. I hide the knowledge. I tan the hide. They have tan the hide on African-American people. They have browned the cow on us. And worse than the physical vicious murder, it's the psychological jarring, the constant psychological warfare where generation after generation we are brainwashed into embracing an idea that Jah is God, that man is God, that Jesus, they said Jehovah in the New Testament is the Christ. So the Christ of the New Testament and the Jehovah and Jah of the Old Testament are one and the same. Lord, have mercy. Our people are in bad shape. These events are clear revelations. We are innocent. We didn't commit this sin on Sinai. Our leadership did not have the wicked dark beta vision to come up with a scheme like that. We didn't sign up on the method and come up with a sin to contain the human soul and signal and send God. We didn't come up with the know-how to try to control the world by coloring a large religious truth, by browning the cow. No, indeed. But we are just as much victims of that vicious psychological warfare as the physical family of Michael Brown, our brother, and he is. When that violent, viral, poisonous racist shot him down like a dog and left his body in the street to rot as if he should be eaten by a vulture or another animal of prey. Imam Muhammad came from this people in the old touring car. He said a car is a transport, and metaphorically, ideas are transport. And out of that old Nation of Islam teaching, Allah blessed him to come into the ideas of pure religion and Quran Kareem that's capable of transporting us people to the promised land. That's your problem. That's the revelation that's full of mercy for you. You're not going to make any progress, African-American, as long as you allow these people to contain your soul in a jar with artificial priesthood religion. And why is this ISIS stuff possible in the Muslim world? Because our priests, too, have taken the soul of the Muslim and contained it and put it in a jar. The jar of ritualism, the jar of ignorance, the jar of misunderstanding. Oh, they running around over there talking about Sunni Islam and Shia Islam and ISIL coming from the Sunni and all that foolishness. James Brown, get on up. Just came up out right before Michael Brown murdered. James Brown, King of Soul, King James Version of the Bible. You fed on it. You ate it. You consumed it. Full of the scheme to brown the cow. Full of the scheme to brown. I defy. This is a darkhead. Go bring your theologians from Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. Bring those prelates of high ecclesiastical status. And let's talk this thing over. Let's debate this thing when the sun is at high noon. That means under the light of rational understanding and discourse. You throw that little brown cow jaw guard thing out. You throw that 3-in-1 thing out. And I'm going to throw out the rod of Ichthus. And I guarantee you that rod will consume that falls to it every time. And this is just a little darkish in this challenge by way of hyperbole, suggesting to my dearly beloved brethren whom we are so close together in a common mission, suggesting that we have no reason to fear anything or anybody. The Lord took us out of the Turing car ideals of the Nation of Islam and put us in the shining vehicle of the ideas of Quran Kareem through the mercy and grace that he gave to our leader, our blessed Imam, Imam Waqf bin Muhammad. Dear beloved people, we could spend a few hours this evening connecting sub-events, three main events. What Netanyahu claiming to be of the people of Mount Sinai, this situation in Iraq with Mount Sinjar, and this situation domestically detailing the fate of our people and our sad condition, paralleling the state of the culture, popular culture, with King James Brown and this young African-American brother that was slaughtered unmercifully as if he did not deserve the dignity of human treatment. We thank you for your attention. We hope and pray that you understand. If there are any questions, we're certainly willing to stay here and humbly stand for the best that hit the planet in the last 1,400 years since the number one human being, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Dear Brother Imam, we thank you for this forum.
Thank you, Brother Imam.
I apologize to our
audience getting off to a late start, but if anyone wishes to ask questions or make comments, I would like to ask them to please just press 1 on your phone and dial 805-727-7013. I myself do have a question, and the question is, someone recently posted on Facebook an article by Warren Williams, and Warren Williams says, why don't blacks, African-Americans, protest black-on-black crime? And people have given him all kinds of fingers and all kinds of curse words. I wonder what your reaction to that. Should we be concerned about African-Americans committing crime? I don't like the term black-on-black crime, but I am concerned about violence, and our Ministry of Religion Means Alive has its foremost article of concern is peace in the neighborhood. That's what we want to tour. If you all help us and support us, we're going to tour this country and go into every neighborhood that we can go into.
Well, yes. Brother Imam, naturally, we abhor violence amongst our people because violence is from the word to violate. And how can we spend 400 years or so being violated, then getting a state of continual, perpetual violation against each other? So I'm against violence, but I also understand justice. You're not out there committing violence. All African Americans are not out there killing each other. So then the law of justice comes into play. So the problem is when you have people, regardless of ethnicity, living a normal legal life and cannot walk the street without being summarily executed. So African-American violence is one thing, but trampling upon the U.S. Constitution and the right for trial by jury is another thing. No law enforcement officer has been given the right to summarily convict anybody. I'm a lawyer. We have a trial system for that. And if he's found guilty, send him up the road and lock him up.
But we don't summarily execute in America. Not since the days of lynching.
I think that's a very good answer. And I think that our enemies use that. They put us in, well, into a, well, I think they use that as a device and as a vice. I do think, and I agree with you 100%, that we have execution. I don't care if a guy just kills somebody. We have a trial. That's what we have lawyers for. That's what we have prosecutors for. So I agree with you 100%. I wonder if you can comment, and this is proper, but I know I've been reading an Atlanta Constitution newspaper about a federal judge out of Montgomery, Alabama, and the Frank M. Johnson, I believe it's Frank M. Johnson, Judge Frank Johnson courthouse, has now been charged with a crime of assaulted wife, and I have written a post where I said he's innocent until proven guilty. I wonder if you have any comments on that.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If that brother in the street must be treated as innocent until proven guilty, that applies to each and every American citizen, including this judge. He's not guilty until proven so in a valid court of law.
Do you think it's proper for the 11th Circuit to remove him from trials while he's pending the trial?
I think that's a judgment call because that removal does not speak to the guilt or innocence, because there could be an ethical thing here in the sense that did anything happen to project an appearance of impropriety? And if that's the case, you cannot convict a man in a court behind an appearance of impropriety. The person must be guilty, as you know, beyond a reasonable doubt. But now, if one wants to, as a profession, temporarily discipline one based upon a judgment call that there is behavior that violates the ethical principle of avoiding an appearance of impropriety, I may slightly disagree with that position in this situation, but I can understand.
Okay. I can too. And I think that 20 or 30 years ago, before the day of Yom HaDin, I think that wouldn't have happened. We would have had traffic violations, judges beating our wives. They would never have been called on the carpet. But we've seen a change. And I think it's for the good. I do. I think that, you know, a federal judge is a high position, is appointed by life. I don't think he will be impeached. I hope he won't be impeached. There's some serious allegations against the judge. And they're, but I think he's a judge. He sits, and I believe that the 11th Circuit, I would perhaps, if I were, now I'm not a judge, not a lawyer, I perhaps wouldn't have suspended him from trial, perhaps from civil. So I would have probably given him, taken him off criminal trials, but perhaps civil trials. And I know the dockets are full, and I'd like to see an expedited judicial proceeding. I want people to be held up. But, you know, Fabricus is gander. He was held in jail. I've seen times in the South he would have never been arrested. He was held in jail. In fact, he was held in jail for 36 hours and bailed out. Had to use a public defender. So maybe they'll make him more sensitive to sentencing practices, because this judge has been a very tough judge.
Let me say, ma'am, though, that there's something extrajudiciary and beyond the laws of America that's operating here. By that I mean, see, when you catch a man like Mo Brooks make that wild statement, it's inaccurate, but even in some inaccurate statements, there's a degree of truth in it. And really what you do have is a surreptitious attempt to finish off the Gentile male.
Right.
That's going on. Now, let me refer you to an incident. And part of what you see, like with that judge, it may be the frustration that these men are feeling, either consciously or unconsciously. I was sitting in a restaurant yesterday, brother Imam, and minding my own business, and one who some of us may superficially look at and classify as a redneck. I was eating and I heard somebody say "Salam." I looked up and it was this person, and he said, "Man, when are you going to run for office again?" Wow. This is what the one who we would call redneck. When are you going to run for office again? Then he went into a discussion about a vote that had been taken that he felt was detrimental to the local economy. And he wanted Salam to go back over there and straighten things out. That's how his mind was thinking. But that's not why I bring this up. After we got beyond politics, he went into a woe is me bag. Now, this is a Caucasian male. We never talked to each other. And he began to lament what had happened to him and his wife. How some guy had came through the Facebook and internet and took his wife. He's sitting there frustrated. He, like many of these other men, they used to dominate our women, dominate their women, dominate us, and now all of a sudden they facing a world where they can look up any day. Now, he got on a major package store. They make good money, been married to this woman for 20 years, but all of a sudden she's gone behind the Facebook. They're frustrated. He didn't say whether the one who took her was black or white, but he could very well face that possibility in this day and time. So these men, my point, are very frustrated.
I hate to call you out of the legal docs, and I hate to call you from the member, but you might just have to step back into politics as a dawah effort, because you know what? These people are desperate. And I still believe a Muslim African-American will be able to bring America out of its quagmire more so than anybody else. And I think I stated, well, we have a caller from Orlando, Florida. I'm not going to take up any more time. I want him to make his comments. And then if you all, Brother Imam, if you could close it out after that, or you all can talk. I have a tenant right outside that I must take care of. So you all continue.
Yes, sir, Carl. Are you on the line?
Okay. Yes. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, my brother.
I just wanted to just respond to the fact that pertaining to Juan Williams' column.
I haven't read it, but the only thing I know is the brief quote that Imam Afric gave from it, and I stated my position in response to that quote, but I have not read the article, and I'm certainly not familiar with the complete content of the article, my brother. So if you have something to add to it, not only would it be appreciated, but you would enlighten me.
Yes, well, the only thing that I wanted to say is that we should look at what Juan said from a Quranic perspective, and that is that we are all of one humanity from Adam and Eve, and that even though we have different tribes and nations, we still should be working toward that one humanity. And basically, that's the way we should look at it. I know we are in a volatile society that stresses separation, but But I guess it should be, as far as Muslims go, is to correct the picture. Yeah. And that's basically all I wanted to say. Yeah.
I'm back.
Well, I certainly do agree that we should operate based upon the premise of one of humanity. But in the abstract, that's a slippery phrase. So what does it really mean? When we were slaves, when we were in Jim Crowism, the idea of one humanity was valid. But that didn't mean that because we promote one humanity, that we should not stand up against the sins of humanity. And
absolutely.
I believe, like the Imam believe, in one humanity, and like the Quran advocate. But Quran also says, take a stand on justice, even if it's against our own self. So I don't believe that as Muslims, because we stand upon the universality of humankind, that we should stand idle by while any human being, regardless of race, is being mistreated. Brother Imam?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Is the caller still on the line?
I certainly thank you. And
yes,
we look forward to you all. Tomorrow, I believe we will be on at 1 o'clock with Wally the Communicator. He will be on at 1. We'll be back on at 3 o'clock, Sunday, God willing. I'm also have many hats tomorrow. Well, we have something to do Sunday, but we'll be here Sunday at 3 o'clock. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You'll listen once again for another edition of Religion Means a Lie. Peace be on you. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.